name. Amen. Amen. Today I'm talking about let there be light. Let there be light. Have you ever heard that before? Is that a scripture you've heard of before? Oh, I don't hear a lot of response today. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I want to start with a verse, actually a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And this is a scripture we should all be familiar with because it says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and darkness He called night." This last Monday night, during the Memorial Day, I had an extra day off, and it was so nice. Wasn't it nice to have 3 days off? Wouldn't it be nice to have 4 days off? How about 5 days off? The whole year off, okay. But on Monday evening, Irene and I were watching a movie called Let There Be Light. I don't know if anyone else has seen this movie. It's a fairly new movie, Let There Be Light. And in this movie, the world's most famous atheist, he has a near-death experience and he's transported to a place of great light. And in his search for the meaning of what this great light was, the experience forever changes his life, and he's converted from a die-hard disbeliever to a bona fide believer as he realizes that Yeshua is that light. I really enjoyed the movie, and I'm a rough and tough rabbi, right? You know, rough and tough. And I was sitting there in my chair, I had tears in my eyes, and I was crying and everything. Huh? It must have been the allergies. But anyway, I had tears in my eyes. The story really was touching. So if you're able to watch Let There Be Light, it's really a good story. But I don't know. It may be. As I was thinking about this movie, what it meant, I thought, what is light? And how does it relate to us as believers in the Messiah, Yeshua? So, of course, I looked up the definition like we all do. Okay, Google. Anybody ever does that? Okay. Anyway, so I looked up the definition of light. But we're going to get serious now, okay? Y'all wipe the smile off now. And it says about light, it says, listen to this definition of light. The natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Visible light is electromagnetic I'm going to start over. Okay. Write that smile. The natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Visible light is the electromagnetic radiation whose wavelength falls within the range to which the human retina responds. And I'll tell you what. That textbook definition doesn't mean very much to us as believers in Messiah Yeshua, does it? In fact, you can hardly even understand what it's saying. It's kind of crazy. But as believers in Yeshua, I think we see light in a far greater term or greater dimension, what light means. You know that phrase, let there be light? It's actually a translation of the Hebrew phrase, yehi or. And a literal translation would be more like a command, something like, light exist. Light exist. God was saying, light exist. That's really kind of what the literal meaning of that. God is speaking. into the void, and he's commanding light to come into being. And the Bible tells us that God created the heaven and the earth and everything else that exists by simply speaking them into existence. God just spoke the word and it came into being. His personality and his power and God's creativity and his beauty were all expressed in the creation the same way as it is with an artist, as he shows his personality and his attributes as he does his art or his music. We see, as we look all around us, we see the beauty of God's creation. God is that artist. You ever look up in the sky and see such a beautiful sunset? And you say, wow, look at what God just drew for us, this beautiful sunset, or these beautiful clouds and that beautiful sky. God is this amazing artist who creates all things and just speaks it into being. And the idea of light existing first in God's mind was given form by the words, let there be light, or let light exist. You know, the scriptures have a lot to say about light and also about darkness. In the scripture from Genesis 1, we read these words, Vayar Elohim et ha'or ki tov. God saw that the light was good. He saw that it was good. Presumably, the darkness was not ki tov. It was not good. Darkness is not good. It's not good to be in darkness. We need to be in the light. Think of that for your own lives. It's not good to be in the darkness. We need to be in the light. Living a life of darkness means that we're in the absence of light or separated from the light. And we don't want to be separated from the light. In this context, God is light, and in him there is no darkness of all, in all. No darkness in God. He is light. Being separated from the light means we are separated from God and we're doomed to eternal darkness. We need to desire to be in the light, be part of the light, not to be separated from the light, not to be separated from the Lord, not to be separated from the Yeshua. Yeshua is the light, and we need to stay within that light and not walk in darkness. Yeshua makes it so clear when he speaks in John 8:12, and he says that, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never or no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In declaring himself, when Yeshua said that he was the light of the world, Yeshua was claiming that he is the exclusive source of spiritual light. He is the source of light, exclusively. There is no other light outside of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of false things in this world today. False religion and false beliefs and false messiahs and false deities out there. And they say that we have the truth and we have the light. Let us show you the light, but it's a lie. It just drags you and pulls you into darkness. Yeshua is the exclusive, the only source of light for all the world and for all of us. No other source of spiritual truth is available to mankind except the truth that comes from Yeshua, who is the light of the world. Everything else is a lie. You know, there are two types of light in the world. We can perceive one or both or neither. When we're born into this world, we perceive physical light. And by it we learn about all of the Creator's handiwork and all the things that we see all around us. It's illuminated by the light of God. However, although that light is good, there's another light. A light so important that the Son of God had come in order to both declare and impart it to us as men and women. In John 8:12, which we just read, Yeshua is speaking of the light of His truth, the light of His word, the light of eternal light. And those who perceive that true light will never walk in spiritual darkness. We need to be walking constantly in the light and not in the darkness at all. You know, we take a candle into a room that's totally, completely pitch dark. And what happens? The room illuminates. The room lights up. All the darkness is dispelled. The darkness disappears. Likewise, Yeshua, who is the light of the world, must be taken into the darkness. We must take Yeshua into the darkness wherever we go, because we are the light of the world. We have Yeshua, who is the light of the world, within us. And we need to remove all the darkness of this world. We need to take Yeshua, the light of the world, into the darkness of sin that engulfs the hearts and lives of those who are not following Him. We all need to be a light and bring our light and illuminate all the darkness of this world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the condition behind having His light, that each and every one of us, that we follow Him. We follow Yeshua. And when we follow Him, we'll have His light and His truth. We'll have eternal light. But if we don't follow Yeshua, then we won't have this light. We won't have this truth. We're going to be walking in darkness. Now, you may have physical light all around you, but you're walking in a spiritual darkness. And He is the true light that gives light to all mankind. You know, physical light, we need it, don't we? Physical life, it's necessary for life on this planet. If we were to have the light removed from this earth, we'd see things change. Well, first of all, we'd probably freeze to death instantly without the light. A forest that's full of trees with very thick canopies of foliage high and above has very little plant life on the ground except for a little bit of moss here and there, which needs very little sunlight. Plants will never move away from the light. Do you ever notice that plants, and you see trees as well, they kind of move toward the light. They lean toward the light. Kind of teaches us a lesson there. I'm not saying that you all should just be vegetables, okay? Or veg out. I'm saying we need to be moving toward the light, leaning toward the light. The light needs to be pulling us toward it so that we continue to grow and prosper and blessed. Plants are said to be positively phototropic. That is that they are drawn to the light, and we need to be drawn to the light. You know, in the same way, spiritual light is necessary for spiritual life. And this can be a good test of our standing in the Messiah. And the believer will always tend towards spiritual things. If we're believers, and we all here in this room should be believers here, we should always, as believers, tend toward the spiritual things. That's how we know you're a believer. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? That shows you're a believer. Are you doing things to please God? Are you in the Word of God? Are you praying? Are you seeking God? Are you blessing other people? Are you helping other people? That's a test of good standing in the Lord, because you'll always go toward that, toward the spiritual things. We'll always tend toward fellowship and prayer and the Word of God and so on. The unbeliever always does the opposite, because light exposes his evil. Do you ever notice that evil doesn't like to be in the light? That's why when we think of the devil, Satan, we always think of darkness and gloom. Don't we? That's why you see all the horror movies. It's always, it's, you know, horror movies, do they ever take place in bright sunlight? It's always dark, isn't it? And there's all these noises. And the wind is howling, right? And they're screaming in the dark. Because darkness hates the light. Because the light exposes the evil. And it hates the light. And it says in John 1:5 these words. John 1:5, starting there, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Also in John 3:19 through 20, we read, "Now this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world," speaking of Yeshua here, "and men love the darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that their deeds will not be exposed." And that's what we see in the world today. Men love the darkness. We live in such a dark world. I mean, we can be out, we're in sunny Florida, right? But there's so much darkness out there. Darkness that you should be able to feel it and see it because it's all around us. But God wants us to expose that darkness and bring it into the light so that the evil will be removed. That's why we need to speak the truth, that we are not to take stands contrary or against the Word of God. Now we see in the society we live with today, it's considered, we're considered evil if we speak against evil. If we speak against homosexuality and lesbianism or the whole LGBT movement, we say that we're evil. But we have to keep telling the truth. We have to keep exposing these lies to the truth and to the light, and pray and hope that we can bring many from the darkness into the light. You know, I love the way Isaiah 5:20 is stated in the TLV Bible. I don't know, some of you have TLV Bibles, but in Isaiah 5:20 says in the TLV Bible, the Tree of Life version, it says, "Oi!" You ever hear that word, "oi"? "Oi!" It says, "Oi! To those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter." And that's exactly what I was just talking about today. Well, they're saying alternate lifestyles are good. You know, if a man is with a man or a woman with a woman, the world today says that's good. There's nothing wrong with this. They say evil, they say good is evil and evil is good. And no wonder why it says oi. Because it should, because it's crazy. The world tells us that we're to accept bad and evil as good. And we can't do that, people. You can't do that. I don't care where that places you in society, what people may think about you. We have such diversity in the businesses where we work today, in corporations. I work for a corporation, and they really push diversity. And alternate lifestyles, and they give all these benefits to those who live in these alternate ways, and not only accept it, but promote it. Prideful about it. Call it gay pride and all these things. But oi, to those who call good, evil good, and good evil. Present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. We should all say, oi. You know, following Yeshua is the condition of two promises in John chapter 8, verse 12. First, if we are truly followers of Yeshua, not just believers, and there's a difference. And I was talking to Irene about it this week, the difference between someone who is a believer and someone who is a follower. And God asks you, are you a believer or a follower? What would you say? A what? What do you think I'm talking about? Follower of, yes, of Yeshua. We have to be a follower. You know why? Okay. The devil believes in Yeshua. Do you know that? The devil is a believer in Yeshua. But the difference is we need to be followers of Yeshua. That means that we need to be like Him. Follow Him. Do like Him. Speak like Him. Act like Him. Talk like Him. That's what He's asking us to be. Thank you, Lord. Not just believer. We will never walk in darkness if we are truly followers. As true followers of the light, we will never follow the ways of sin. Never live in a state of continually sinning. John 1:5 says, now this is a message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and keep walking in darkness, we are liars. We're lying and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in this light, even as Yeshua is the light of the world, as He Himself is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Yeshua, will purify us from all sin. We never live in a state of continually sinning. Rather, we repent of our sin in order to stay close to the light of the world. That's one of the ways we stay close to the light of the world, by continually repenting of our sins so that we can walk close to the light of the world. The second promise is that we will reflect the light of life. Just as He came to this world as the light of the world, He commands us also to be lights too. In Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, before I get that, my prayer is, I pray that I'll never be afraid to tell the truth up here. That I'll never be afraid to condemn evil, call things that are evil, evil, and expose it to light. I'm never going to stop that. If they tell me, somebody tells me, some government, something or other, I have to do, I can't say this. Like they were doing in Houston, the mayor of Houston for a while was demanding that local pastors and preachers give their messages to the mayor so that she could review it before Sunday services and cross out anything that they weren't allowed to say. I'll never do that. I've spoken here before against homosexuality. I've spoken here before against many abortion. Anything that's evil is wrong, I'm going to tell you it. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'll never do that. And I don't want anyone in this room to do that. Don't be afraid to tell the truth. Don't ever be afraid to tell the truth. Because you shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And it's lies which hold you in bondage, and fear which holds you in bondage. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, we see that believers are depicted as the light of the world. Just as the moon has no light of its own, reflecting the light of the sun, so we as believers are to reflect the light of Messiah, of the Son of God, so that all can see it in us. And the light is evident to others by the good deeds we do in faith and through the power of the Spirit of God. And it says in Matthew 5:14, starting there, it says that you, speaking of each one of you, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand, so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. People need to see the light of God reflecting off of you. Just as it said, I said there that the moon has no light of its own, but why do you see it at night? Because it's reflecting the sun. We have no light of our own. The light we have is because we are reflecting the sun of God in our lives. We need to reflect the sun in our lives. The emphasis here is maintaining a credible and an obvious witness in the world. A witness that shows us to be faithful, God-honoring, trustworthy, sincere, earnest, and honest in all that we do. Also, we should also be always be ready to give an account of the hope that we have. For the good news, light we have, is not to be covered, but made obvious for all to see and to benefit from, that they too may leave the darkness and come into the light. That's what God has ordained us to do. And it's not just for leadership, okay? For you as well. You are to reflect that light, and you are to tell everyone about that light that lights you up. In fact, you should all be singing, "You Light Up My Life." The Lord is the one who lights up our life. Thank you, Lord. The reality of the creative power of God's voice has important spiritual implications that go well beyond the creation account itself. Light's often seen as a metaphor in the Bible. And the word illumination, divine enlightenment of the human heart with truth, has to do with bringing things into the light, bringing it into the truth. Spiritual illumination is a kind of creation that occurs in the human heart. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah." You know, when God said, "Let there be light," at the creation, and that light appeared, it showed God's creative power and God's absolute control. The physical, "Let there be light," I didn't even notice that. Okay. Bob must have put that in. Bob snuck that in there. Okay. All right. That just shows you, I'm not looking around, I'm not looking at that or this. I'm looking at you, and I'm concentrating, okay? No distractions. So when God said, "Let there be light," at the creation, and light appeared to show God's creative power and His absolute control. The physical light that God made on that first day of creation is a wonderful picture of what He does in every heart of every person who trusts in Yeshua as a Messiah who is the true light of the world. And there's no need to walk in darkness, the darkness of sin and the darkness of death. In Messiah, we will never walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. In Messiah, we will never walk in darkness, no matter how difficult things may seem sometimes, how bad things get sometimes. Maybe you're going through a very difficult time in your life. Maybe you're short on many things that you need. You need jobs, you need cars, the cupboard, the refrigerator is bare. Maybe you're going through physical issues in your bodies. Maybe people are slandering you, suing you, lying about you, whatever it is that's going on in your life. When we're in Messiah, we will never walk in darkness. No matter how dark it may seem around us, no matter how difficult it may seem around us, we will never walk in darkness because we have the light of the world in our life. And when we have the light of the world, we have all that we need to be successful in life. I'm promising you that. That light of the world in your life will change you, will turn you around, will transform you, will renew you. You'll be a new creation in Him. It's amazing what God, the light of God in your life, can do for you. The same God who in Genesis 1 transformed the earth, filling it with light and filling it with life and filling and creating the land and bringing order and rule, is the same God who is transforming our lives by His mercy and grace. And this is what that great missionary statesman Hudson Taylor referred to as that exchange life that we go through when we have that light of the world in us. In effect, this is really an amazing deal. Great bargain, because we exchange all of our weaknesses for God's power. We exchange all of our sinfulness and our defeats for His holiness and His victory. Man, that's a deal, isn't it? Who wants a deal like that? I do. That's a great deal. But I love the way Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, expressed the same thing so well in Galatians 2:20. And this has been always a very important scripture to me, because I know when I came to the Lord, and I was just learning what it meant to be a believer, and the guy who led me to the Lord, or brought me to the place that led me to the Lord, gave me my first Bible, and didn't even know where to begin, didn't even know what to do with it, where to look. But I remember telling me to, you know, start reading in the New Covenant, New Testament scripture, and this and that. And I came across this scripture in Galatians 2:20, and it really had an impact on me. And it's the first scripture that I actually ever memorized from the New Testament, New Covenant. 39 years ago, seems just like the other day, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with the Messiah, and it's no longer I who live, but the Messiah now lives in me. And the life that I live in the body or in this flesh, I live by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. That's such a meaningful scripture that we all should know that in our heart, that scripture, that we have been crucified with the Messiah. We have taken on His character and His nature and who He is. So that means that it's no longer us anymore. We don't exist anymore. It's not me anymore. It's not you anymore. But it's now Him who lives in us, who resides in us, who fills us with His light so that we might give that light. And now the light that we're living in, this body that we can touch and we can squeeze and that we can feel, that we live in this flesh, we live by trusting in God now. Trusting in Him, because He loved us and He gave Himself for us. That's a beautiful scripture. Galatians 2:20. If you don't know it, never heard of it, study it, what it means in relation to who God is and who you are in God. So let me just end with people, let us walk in His light and let us reflect His light and let us shine forth His glory, because Yeshua is the light of the world. So let there be light. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, Oh, Lord, I love you so much. Thank you, Lord. Let your people here, Lord, love you.